Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and this is a controversial statement, but Alcohol Free by Twice is a bop.
I don't think it's like controversial. Okay, anyways, we can go into it. At this point, I feel like Gabe's no longer a guest. He's more of a co-host at this point. Maybe this is his formal audition, but Gabe, did you want to introduce yourself?
Maybe this is your debut. Official formal debut. So I'm back. Hi everyone. My name is Gabe. And in case you didn't hear, Brave Girls comeback is in 3 days. So mark your calendars. And as you know, I'm a Dreamcatcher stan, and there has been chatter on Reddit that they're having a comeback next month. Basically, the former Nine Muses main vocalist, Sarah Ryu, who is like a big Dreamcatcher stan, like got a phone call during a V Live that people think is one of the Dreamcatcher members that like called her to just like chat, and they told her that they're having a comeback next month. That's the evidence.
So she like had a full-on conversation on the phone while she was on V Live.
Well, she like muted herself, but she was on the phone talking to her friend. We don't know who she was talking to, but after the phone call, she like hung up and she was like went back onto V Live and was like, so apparently DC is having a comeback next month.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So is this Dreamcatcher comeback going to be summer Dreamcatcher that we've never seen before? Is it going to be like winter? Like dark?
Like TXT?
I don't know. Because they finished their whole like trilogy thing from the last album. So they might have to like do a new direction or something. But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, people seem to like their sound. So I hope they don't diverge too much.
What is there such thing as like a rock anime summer vibe song? Because I want to hear it. Maybe that's a little conflicting in terms of genre.
Anyways, we could find something. They'll do it. Let's just say that they're gonna have a summer song.
All right. Okay. you're putting that into the world. All right. Thank you all for tuning in for this episode. Don't forget to also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Idol Talk Pod, and rate, review, and subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, and Pandora. We are happy to receive any emails that you might have, idoltalkpod@gmail.com. And we also have our new content directory. Well, it's no longer new. It's a content directory, idoltalkpod.uu.ai, where we have previous episodes categorized, including our song recommendations, concert, and K-drama reviews, as well as information about us. Also, we'll be posting there and on our Instagram a summer playlist that we kind of curated together. So we'll be able to find that in the description of our episodes
here. Yeah, I like that playlist because there's so many songs that we don't talk about, like older songs that I've never listened to and I've discovered on that playlist. That Sistar song, is a bop. And that was the first time I had ever heard it. Sistar, what's the name of that song?
Shake It. They also have like four other ones. So recommend that. Anyways, it's summer. It's real hot. We need to cool down with some summer bops, so we'll provide you with them. Don't forget to check us out on that playlist on Spotify there. All right. So for today's episode, we're actually going to be recapping a pretty big show that just ended. It was called Kingdom. I know a lot of K-pop fans were following the show pretty intensely. And we're just going to go ahead and recap and give some of our thoughts on the show, and we'll go ahead and just start off with kind of a continuation of where we left off with our preview of Kingdom. And Ashley, do you want to take us off there?
Sure. So, a little bit about the show Kingdom It's called Kingdom Legendary War, their formal title. And it's a survival show that featured six groups. ATs, how do you pronounce their name? B2B? B2B, yep. SF9, Stray Kids, The Boys, and Icon. And it is the male counterpart to the show Queendom and the sequel to Road to Kingdom. In our episode 59, we recorded a like Road to Kingdom recap. So if you don't want to watch the entire prequel season, then you could just listen to the episode. We went into like great detail. And we were also making predictions on like who would win Kingdom on that episode. So you could just listen to how bad we were. How bad our predictions were.
We also recorded that really early before there was a lot of information given. Like, the criteria hadn't been out yet, right?
Yeah, we were just making assumptions based upon the Road to Kingdom format. So we had no idea what to expect. We were just going off, like, our... I remember we made predictions off our, like, what our mind says and what our heart says.
That's right.
On who the winner would be. Yeah. So anyway, Kingdom Legendary War aired from April 1st to June 3rd, 2021. So it just ended a week ago or 10 days ago as of this recording on June 14th. And there was a total of 10 episodes. So the format of the show was broken up into five different parts. There was an introduction stage, the first round, which is like, we'll go into it later, but there were an introduction stage and four rounds. And the entire scoring of the show was based upon four criteria. It was like, honestly, it was a little bit confusing, the breakdown that they did every episode, but I'm just gonna give you the info anyway because it doesn't
take it or leave it.
Yeah, do whatever you want with this info. So the score, each performance was, or each round was scored, and 25% was self-evaluation, meaning the groups would all vote on each other to see who the winner would be. And because there was an uneven amount of people in each group, they would take like three people or four people from each group and then like have those four votes be like all that counted for, I don't know, Stray Kids or The Boys. So that was 25%. 25% was expert voting. So they took like music critics in the K-pop industry and like had them fucking be experts. They had a choreographer, a performance director, a vocal teacher, and some other people. They didn't really
have like idols score too. I thought I had saw some glimpses of
idols. I don't know if they were experts for every show.
Oh, okay.
But there was Shindong from...
Yeah, I saw a couple of Super Junior folks.
Super Junior, and then...
Weekly.
No, I mean, that was... Those Nugus were just there for that one episode. They weren't, like, expert judges for each episode. That's why I think like the Super Junior people were maybe just there for the one episode. I don't know. They didn't really announce who the experts were. But
they kept them anonymous, I think, for the whole time.
Yeah. But I know for the one episode where they did announce, where they had the experts as audience, it was like two guys from Super Junior, Shindong and the D from DNH. What's his name? Whatever. And then like
Donghae,
like four Nugu groups, two boys, two girl groups, and then like a performance director, a vocal director, whatever, whatever. So that was 25% of the vote. 40% was global voting. So international fans had, and Korean fans, were able to vote on this app called WhatsApp. And I never voted.
Who's fan?
Well, WhatsApp is the name of that messaging. Who's fan?
WhatsApp.
Yeah, sorry. Who's fan? And it was just like a voting app. I don't know. I have you used it, Gabe? I tried to get on it the first time, and I was a little bit confused.
So yeah, I used it. I tried to vote in all of the different competitions. The only time it was hard was during the live vote in the last round, because there were literally millions of people trying to do it. Mm. But
yeah. Oh, so was it easy? It was confusing for me, maybe because
it was pretty easy. Well, it's because I've already used it for like voting on M Countdown and stuff.
Oh, it's the same app for M Countdown?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
That makes sense. Didn't this appear on Mnet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like every week on M Countdown, the MCs would be like, make sure you watch Kingdom Legendary War at 7:50 p.m.
Oh, that's kind of cool. And then, so global voting was 40%. And then the last 10% is performance view count. Performance video view count. So after each performance, they would upload the performance onto the Mnet YouTube channel. And it wasn't like, because you know how Mnet uploads like the video with the talking, the different like show talking, and then they have like solo cams for each member. It wasn't like an aggregate sum of all of those types of videos. It was just like view count for one video, and it was the performance video without any like other group member annotations. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. So 25% self-evaluation, 25% expert voting, 40% global voting, 10% performance video view count. And I will say that this was the scoring for, it was the scoring for each round, but it wasn't always used. It was weird. So they would like use it sometimes, and then sometimes the round would like not fit the parameters of the voting, so they would just like use other voting. And we'll get into it later, like what exactly the voting criteria was for each round. But yeah, I will say though that my favorite part of this voting was the expert voting, because after every performance, like on the following episode, they would do like a pre-recording of the members like prepping for the performance, and they would talk about like what the experts said and how like they should change their performance to get a higher expert score, or like to be better. So they really used that and like made their performances better.
Yeah. Okay. So in the past, I have said that expert scores are trash in relation to like SBS, MTV, the show. But in this case, I think the expert score was actually the most trusted one for me.
Yeah. Like, for sure.
Because like the global voting is not super accurate of like what performance is actually like the highest quality or whatever.
Yeah. I agree. Some of the examples looking at these.
Yeah, go ahead.
Expert scoring was kind of like I remember for an SF9 performance, for the first round, they told SF9 that the performance had like a lot of different aspects, but it all seemed like chaotic and there wasn't an organized like story to it. And that really helped them in like from round one to round two, because round one they scored sixth place, and then round two they like took the expert feedback to heart and then won first place on the second round. It was awesome. Yeah, it was great. Did you have to say something about the expert score?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. So the first round was an introduction stage, and this is kind of like where they introduced all of the groups to each other, and they had to do a 100-second performance of one of their songs that's what like reached first place at a music show, probably M Countdown, so they could like replay clips from M Countdown on Kingdom.
Wait, do they all have first wins on M Countdown?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
I guess they do. Obviously, yeah. More than others. Like, for example, what's that fucking group? Icon. Icon has like 20, a lot of a lot of first wins, and so it was really hard for them to decide what song they wanted to do. But like the boys and SF9, they only have one or two songs.
Mm-hmm.
So the boys did The Stealer, and then SF9 did Good Guy. The other performances were like, ATEEZ has a couple wins, so they did Wave, B2B did Beautiful Pain, SF9 Good Guy, Stray Kids Mirror, The Boys, The Stealer, and Icon Rhythm Ta. So they had 100 seconds to perform like a version of that song. Some of them remixed it a little bit, and yeah, there was one. They all voted on each other for that round. So this is one of those rounds where the rules really don't apply. They did like self-voting for that round, and the winner of it was Stray Kids. And that performance was fucking awesome because they did like a wolf concept. I remember like in the episode 59 where we were talking about like what my head says and what my heart says, and how I was talking about Stray Kids and fucking how I know they're going to lose because they don't have a vocalist.
No, they have one.
Yeah, they have one, but like...
Well, but I was... the one round they needed like to do a vocalist heavy performance, they totally flopped. So...
No, well...
Yeah, okay. We can talk about it.
We'll get to it, okay? Because your opinions on every single group in this show totally differ from mine. Like every week, Gabe and I would talk about fucking the like feedback, like just talk recapping each episode. And I swear, he would always say something mean to me, and it would like hurt my feelings. He always talk shit about my babies from each group, aka Sunu from The Boys.
Okay, we'll get there.
Okay, whatever. Sorry, I'm triggered. But yeah, anyway. So, the introduction stage, Stray Kids won. They were awesome. I would recommend watching their performance because it was, like, obviously the best one of the night. What was your favorite performance, Gabe?
From the intros?
Yeah,
I really liked the boys' intro stage because they did, like, a kind of, like, a ballet type couple seconds in their choreo, and I thought that was nice, and it was like really nice, kind of different.
Was like different from like the aggro contemporary concept. Dance or wait,
like ballet. It was like a contemporary ballet inspired type thing.
Ooh, I want to see that.
Right.
Yeah
it was really good. I remember that, but Stray Kids was better. I will also say that was that group ATEEZ, the performance there was terrible. Of Wave, it was trash. I hated it. And I remember thinking that ATEEZ, like in episode 59, I was like, ATEEZ is gonna win the whole show. And then I saw that intro stage and I was like, no, they're trash. ATEEZ is trash. Last thing I'll say about the intro stage is that Icon Rhythm Ta, that
was bad.
It was good.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I mean, you could tell. I think Bobby said after that episode, he was like, that was the most amount of dancing we've done in a long time.
Well, they haven't been active for a while, right? They didn't even dance that much.
Yeah, because they do that thing where they just kind of like jump around and like get happy. Yeah, they didn't really, I don't know if Icon is really like a dancing group, but they didn't dance. Also, B2B, they didn't dance in their intro stage at all. They just had like four microphones and did like a choir.
Beautiful
type
Pain
of song.
is a pop ballad.
Yeah, they didn't. They did like hand movements and that was it. But yeah, okay, I'm done with that. Stray Kids won that round. The next round, the first official round, was themed to the world, and the like prompt for this round was where each group had to perform one or two of their representative hit songs, which are rearranged and different from their usual stages of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wait, was this when Icon did the disco version?
Yeah.
Whatever.
So Icon did, the boys did No Air, A Song of Ice and Fire. their fucking. This is the beginning of the boys' Game of Thrones theme. And I remember it was like so blatantly Game of Thrones. Like they had White Walkers in as backup dancers. It was so tacky and terrible. I hated it.
This is the one thing that me and Ashley agree on with the boys, because their Game of Thrones concept is just, it's not like a show that's so ubiquitous that everyone knows it, you know?
I don't know it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like people are not going to just make the association and know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. And especially yeah, in true. Korea, I don't know. Did it get a lot of ooh in Korea?
Maybe yeah. they weren't trying to appeal to Koreans.
Oh, that's because true.
The show is just like, it was very like international focused.
That's true.
Like but, the BTS Happy Meal. Yeah.
But also Game of Thrones, if you're trying to appeal, that was like a 2 to 3 years ago kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would say that
again, people Game need to have American consultants or international consultants if they're going to try to appeal over there. Like, okay, I don't want to get too much into it. But for example, Twice went on to Ellen. Yo, Ellen's getting canceled. Don't be going on to Ellen at this point in your career.
Is she really getting canceled? I thought she was just ending. Like she was just done.
Well, she was ending, but like there was pressure on her because she was getting canceled.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, oh, I'd rather just stop on my own terms. Go on to Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson's taking Ellen's spot. Wow. We don't need to talk about Kelly, but stop going on to Ellen. Like, it's a sinking ship. Don't go on to a sinking ship, right? Like, people need to know if they're trying to capture certain markets that, yeah, this is just to say, I don't know Game of Thrones, and I know there are hardcore Game of Thrones fans 3 or 4 years, like 2 to 3 years ago. Not anymore, yeah. though.
But do those fans overlap with the boys fans?
Okay, I'll say well, that
From our laugh, I don't think so. But
I was whatever. A Game of Thrones fan, and I would get my friends together, and I would watch it.
Yeah, the problem a lot of people with used that to do show, that.
Was that the last season was fucking terrible and it like left a bad taste in my mouth. And so like it's like Sky Castle where you only watch like episodes 1 through 12 and then you skip episode 13.
Oh, I watched episode 13. And yeah, but I get what bad. You mean. I get what you mean. I
it
get
just
what
leaves you mean. A bad taste in your mouth. And so when they picked Game of Thrones as their like theme for all of their performances, I was like, I recalled all of the memories of the last season and how terrible those episodes were. And I was like, this is fucking tacky. Okay, anyway.
Okay, continue on.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that Ellen comment.
Whatever.
It's true,
I didn't,
though.
No, I didn't know she was getting canceled. I just thought she was ending on her own terms because I saw that video of her saying, like, thank you for the whole, for my seasons. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so the boys did No Air, A Song of Ice and Fire. Mm-hmm. Icon did a mashup a mashup of Love Scenario and Killing Me. And they did Love Scenario in a disco version. Yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah. I remember thinking, like, being so hype for Icon doing Love Scenario because that song is, like, so legendary. And then when they did the disco version, I was like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really missed an opportunity, I think, with Love Scenario.
Yeah, they did.
And it's because Bobby is just, like...
Terrible?
Terrible.
What do you mean? Isn't he, like, one of the most popular members?
Yeah, but, like, his whole thing was, like, oh, we just need to, like, look like we're having fun. And it's, like, that's not how the scoring on this show works, yeah, Bobby.
Yeah, this was the beginning of Icon's downfall. It really was, because
yeah,
the problem that Icon had was they didn't understand how to compete.
In this
on
type
Kingdom
of show.
Specifically.
On Kingdom.
Yeah.
In this type of show.
On Kingdom.
Right.
Not a survival show, because they've done survival shows, like, even Bobby won Show
This
Me
isn't
Money,
really a
but...
survival show, though. It's a variant of it.
Yeah, but, like...
No one's getting eliminated.
That's true, but they're all, like, trying to get up there.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. So Bobby and, like, maybe not Bobby, but, like, Icon, they didn't understand the whole, like, storytelling aspect of Kingdom performances.
Well, it's a very fourth generation type of show, right? And they are not that. B2B, from my understanding, tried to fit that mold maybe a little bit better.
B2B was amazing.
But maybe Icon didn't. They were just like, we're just still going to do whatever we want.
Yeah. I think it's even more, like, I think it's even more different than Queendom, too, because they had a live audience for Queendom. So, like, the type of performance you do for a live audience is really different from, like, what you do when you're just trying to appeal to the camera that's, like, moving around the stage, right. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The performances on Kingdom were a lot more theatrical, as if you were watching, like, a Broadway play, as opposed to, like, an Mnet end-of-the-year performance, where it's just, like, a static camera looking at a, like, a flat stage.
Or even, like, a concert performance, you know?
Right.
Like,
but they're just one stage,
not really moving around.
Yeah. The stage was used, like, in all performances, like, 360. The camera would rotate around. It would even, like, pan down from the ceiling onto the floor. Like, there was a lot of creative use of the camera. And the entire show, Icon, like, really tried, but just didn't get as creative as others. So, Love Scenario killing me, the beginning of Icon's downfall, RIP. Next is B2B, Missing You, theater version.
Exactly, this theater version. So they're at least knowing who is watching these types of shows and kind of what Kingdom's theme implies, right?
Right. Yeah. This was the first kind of real performance that we got from B2B where they did a little bit of, like, acting, a little bit of singing, a little bit of rapping, and then a little bit of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So for a group that doesn't dance, it was a good performance.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one dude that dances, Minhyuk, I believe is his name. He is he's their main rapper, their main dancer, and also, like, sub-vocalist. He's, like,
does all around.
Yeah, he did everything. Next is Stray Kids, Jazzin, Oneself, Jad, Ghostsin. What the fuck? I didn't even realize that was their title. And honestly, I don't even remember what that performance was.
Yeah, I don't either.
This was the last performance that Hyunjin was in.
Oh, yeah. No, was it?
Was Hyunjin in this performance?
I think Hyunjin was
cut out of the whole thing.
Yeah. So Hyunjin, he was in the intro stage. And, like, they recorded the intro stage prior to all of that drama coming out with Hyunjin. So when the intro stage aired, they had Hyunjin in the performance because, like, they had to show him because he was, like, the front and center, obviously. But for all of the clips where they pan over to Stray Kids talking, they would just, like, not pan to Hyunjin. And then I think it was round one. I think you're right, Gabe, where Hyunjin was, like, completely out already. Like, they didn't even include him in the choreography. The same thing happened with, from TVXQ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did he ever get edited back in?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was in the first couple episodes and then just stayed off, right?
So Changmin was the full-on MC then?
Yeah, for the entire thing. He's really good. I don't remember the Stray Kids performance, so I have nothing to say about that, but they won first place. That's it. ATEEZ did Symphony 9 from the Wonderland, and this is where they did like a mashup of the classical Symphony 9, and their song Wonderland. Wasn't this their pirate performance? Was this their pirate performance?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
The one with, like, the big, like,
Kraken.
Snake thing. Yeah.
The Kraken? Yeah. This was an amazing performance. I loved it. I think there was a Kraken, but...
That just sounds very intense.
Yeah. They went full on pirate theme where they had a pirate boat, like the front of the pirate boat. They even had like contortionists as backup dancers. It was very like fucking like a Las Vegas TV like show. Yeah. And then they had, like, in the middle of the performance, they went to the back of the stage, and there was this huge, like, inflatable Kraken that came out, and one of the members shot it with a gun, and then everyone was cheering, like, yeah, you beat the Kraken. It was really good. That performance, I would recommend watching that. And then SF9 did Jealous, and this is where they got sixth place.
And they literally got zero on the self-evaluation.
Yeah, nobody voted for them because it was terrible. This is the one where I was saying the experts like said that they had good.
Oh, but like, it was just too much going on.
Yeah, it was just like there was no storyline. Similar to Icon, where they were just like doing cool stuff, but like, what was I supposed to take away from that? You know, like you're cool.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
So at this point, at this point, a couple episodes in, it just sounds like it's
like so Stray Kids is getting first place.
Yeah. For the first two episodes.
Oh, the Stray Kids performance was the Insane Asylum kind of one. Remember that one?
Oh, with the, where they were starting with the, off, like the, with the ribbons.
Yeah.
The concept was they were like, they started off like being controlled, and then at the end they were controlling the people who were controlling them.
Yeah.
As if they, and they were controlling them as if they were like marionettes.
Okay. All right. So at that point they covered their own song, and then do they do anything new for the second performance?
Yeah, so round two, they switch it up and the concept is Reborn. That's what it's called. And so the six groups basically exchange songs with another group and then perform and rearrange them into a different style. So ATEEZ did Rhythm Ta by Icon, which everyone at the time was like, wow, that's so ballsy, because like Icon literally did Rhythm Ta for their
intro stage.
Intro. Wait. Yeah.
Oh, so they did a repeat kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and then B2B.
I wouldn't have advised them to do that from an outsider's perspective, but whatever.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like you have to be aggressive on these kinds of things.
Yeah, like, the reason why they also did Rhythm Ta is because one of the members, he did Rhythm Ta as like his weekly evaluation song the entire time he was training, so it like really hit close to home with him.
Oh, yeah. Who's the member that was... I forget.
Who was their youngest member? No, not their youngest member. The really tall one. Anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. B2B did Backdoor by Stray Kids.
Fucking bop. That was an amazing performance.
I know. And that's the one where Minhyuk like ripped off his shirt and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's just Mnet clickbait.
Well... That's also, you know, again, that's also, well, it's a staple in K-pop, but it's even more common these days, right?
Yeah. That performance.
They gotta play the game,
Their concept for that performance was like, the members were getting ready for a live show, like the backstage of a concert. And so they would go from room to room. And when they did the knock, the do-do-do-do. They would knock on another member's door and then see what they were doing as they were getting ready. And then the like finale of that performance was them walking out from the back of the stage to the front of the stage. And so like the end of the performance was like a concert performance. And that's where he rips off his shirt and Peniel throws water on the camera as if he was throwing water into the audience.
I really like that one.
I did too.
I thought it was a good switch up for B2B because everyone was like, oh, they're just going to stand there and like sing, but they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
And then SF9 did The Stealer, which was originally from The Boys. And they did kind of like a like a bank heist concept.
Yes.
They were all dressed in like suits and had like handguns and were like robbing a bank or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It was
they took it very amazing. Literally.
Yeah, they were literal stealers. That was one of the best performances of the entire show, I would say. I still mm-hmm. replay it to this day. That was also the performance I was talking about where they got sixth place in the first round and then they took the expert store and they were like, we need a storyline. And then they took the boy stealer and was like, we're going to be stealers now. Mm. And they like they do you know, have you ever seen the show at Universal Studios where there's like water?
Waterworks?
Waterworks.
Water World or Works?
Water World.
The plane?
World yeah. of Color?
No, that's Disney.
Oh, wait, that's Disney.
No, there's like in Universal Studios, yeah, what you're saying, Water World, it yes. literally was that. It
oh,
was
I like that show.
Explosions and like fighting. There was no water, but like imagine that show.
And then next, Stray Kids did Prey by B2B, which is like a very I don't know if it's a ballad really, but it's definitely a slower song.
It's slower for B2B, but I remember commenting and I was like, they literally did one of B2B's fastest title tracks.
Yeah. And it's very vocal heavy. Like you need to have, like it takes a strong vocalist to be able to pull off these songs. And I remember Sungmin and who else was singing? IN.
Han too. But Han, yeah.
So they were singing, and I just remember like IN was like struggling so much with like hitting his notes. And yeah. I was like, yeah, this is Stray Kids in a nutshell.
The it's not their struggling. Strength.
Yeah, it's not their strength, but yeah. It was still a good performance. Gabe and I disagree on this performance.
I think it was, like, they did okay. It was good. Like, the story was good. But I think the execution wasn't there.
Wait, what was the song called again?
Be Your Man.
Oh, I'll Be Your Man.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, they just didn't execute well. And I feel like they didn't, like, they weren't aware of their own abilities and what they could do with this B2B song.
So, I have a question then. So, B2B kind of went out of their comfort zone and attempted
one of Stray Kids songs that is very Stray Kids, right? Like,
yeah.
And then the reverse happened. They're trying to show different sides of each other, apparently. Uh-huh. So who won that? Who won that? Who pulled it off and who might not have?
B2B pulled it off way better, I would say.
Yeah.
With Backdoor.
Okay. Because it's interesting that their polar opposite groups are trying to are going for each other's songs, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will say Stray Kids, after their flop performance of that B2B song, and they got sixth place from the experts, and they got fifth place from the other groups. They got, I think, first and second place in YouTube views and global voting. So then they finished in fourth place. Yeah. So like, the whole time, even if you do a bad performance, if you have a big enough fan base, like you don't do terribly, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of stupid because like Stray Kids is obviously never going
to
get
last. Yeah, they have a big fan
yeah.
base.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that conclude round two?
No. There's still Icon. They did Inception by ATEEZ, which was, I think, another step up from what they did before, but it was still kind of like
trash.
It wasn't as good as the other groups did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did Inception. So the song, the AT song is Inception, and they did like a very literal version of the movie Inception. But again, it was just like different Inception scenes with no storyline.
Yeah.
So I was like, what am I supposed to take away from this performance? Like, you just did like a...
You're just cool.
You're just cool. And it was a good... It was like, it was cool, but like, that was it, you know?
Anyway. Yeah. And then the boys, I remember this one because the boys got 0 points from the self-evaluation from the other groups. And it was when they did O Sole Mio by SF9, and they made it like themed as the Red Wedding, which I did not see the resemblance, to be completely honest.
The only part that was the red... So in Game of Thrones, the Red Wedding is when there is a wedding between two families and everyone dies. So that
I thought that's what that was.
Yeah, everyone, they like lock the banquet hall and then everyone gets murdered in the banquet hall, which is why it's called the Red Wedding. But in the performance, they... Like, the only thing that was really red wedding about it was that they were, like, they looked
wearing
like they,
red.
Were, they were wearing red, and they looked like they were in, like, some sort of hall. But that was it. And they did mix, like, the Game of Thrones theme song into the audio.
Mm.
Which, again, I mean, it was cool, but it was, like, still tacky.
Yeah, no, it was tacky. And they had, like, a prop malfunction, kind of, like...
Yeah.
There was a staff that they were passing around throughout the performance. And at the beginning, someone was supposed to like light it on fire. And they didn't do it. And so then as they were passing it around, like the staff was supposed to like light up the stage and like make it brighter. But then since they didn't do it, the entire performance was just like really dark. So like you couldn't see anything.
I didn't notice that that was supposed to happen, but when he was crying after, I realized something was wrong.
Yeah, that's what he was crying about. And yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for the boys.
Rip.
Yeah. But I think out of all the rounds, I liked this one the most because like seeing groups cover each other, I think it was the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, this is the next round after?
No. This is round two, but I did like round three.
Oh, each other's covers. Other's covers. Okay.
I thought that was unique.
What happened in the third round?
I think round three is my favorite. So round three was really long. So, I mean, it was like 4 episodes long. So I'll try to go through it quickly. Basically, they split the round into 2 parts. So round one was where they like split the groups half and half, and then they make those 2 different groups compete in 1 rap performance, 1 vocal performance, and 1 dance performance. So of those performances, I won't go into detail about it because it was kind of like meh. But of the rap performance, the winner was... the ATs, Stray Kids, and B2B. Actually, I'll say for all of round one, the winners of each round were ATs, B2B, and Stray Kids. Like the SF9 was an icon, and the boys, all their performances were like so meh.
They were pretty bad.
Yeah. The one notable performance from this round is the vocal unit performance with Jungho from ATEEZ, Eunkwon from B2B, and Sungmin from Stray Kids, where they covered "Love Poem" by IU. That was fucking.
That was really
amazing.
Good.
I would say that was the best performance of the entire show. Even IU.
Didn't you just say that something else was the best?
No. I said one of the best, and it was the boy. It was SF9, the Stealer. That was second to the best. Anyway,
okay.
Then round two, part two of round three, was where each group competed individually, and they had to do like the theme was No Limit, so they could really do whatever they want. They could either do like a cover of someone's song. Or like a mashup of one of their own songs with another song. They could really do whatever. The standout performances from that were Stray Kids' God's Do Do Do, where they remixed Do 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 by Blackpink, and God's Menu by Stray Kids. That was really good. It was like Deadpool themed, and they even got Ryan Reynolds to... like make a comment on it on Twitter and became a Stray Kids fan after that. Icon did Classy Savage, which was like their take on Blackpink's Pretty Savage song. And Lisa from Blackpink performed her verse in that. But it was so dumb. They really just used her for clout because she didn't even perform with them. They like panned the camera to the back of the stage and then Lisa did her own thing. And then they panned the camera back to the front of the stage and Icon like continued out. So
did
really,
they even film together?
No. They didn't.
Quarantine laws? I don't know.
No. They really just used her for clout. And they already, they basically did her verse twice. So they did like an Icon version of her verse. They panned to the back. Lisa did her own verse. And then they like ended the song, like finish out the song. Okay. But yeah.
The performance itself wasn't even that great too.
Yeah, like, it wasn't like amazing.
They just relied on Lisa and everyone's like, oh my God, it's Lisa.
All people like Lisa.
But what was the point of that, you know?
Other than just being like, okay, nice.
Yeah. See,
it's like sticking BTS and ENHYPEN on the same stage.
Right. It's like, why?
Everyone does that.
It's like the BTS meal.
Yeah, this is Icon just continuing their mediocrity. Another standout performance was B2B's performance of Blue Moon.
That's the one that's charting right now.
Oh, yeah. So Blue Moon is like one of B2B's fan favorite songs. Mm-hmm. And since this is a No Limit theme, they kind of dedicated this performance to the melodies. And they had Minyeon from G-Idol participate in the performance. And she didn't sing. She just kind of like danced along with them. So their concept was kind of like La La Land, where she was like the lead in the film that they were filming. Yeah, it was cute. Anyway, that's it for episode 3.
So that takes us from the covers to what now?
So now we're at the final round, which was a bit different. They did a live broadcast and they had 40% of your score was the digital chart performance of the song that you released before the episode aired. And then 60% was the live voting from the global fans.
So what happens to the judges vote or whatever? Expert
vote. So the experts are gone. The self-evaluation for the groups is gone. The YouTube views are gone. It's just basically digitals and live vote.
But more than half of it is a popular vote.
Yeah. And I think that's because Mnet wanted to get away from the like expert. Cause I feel like the fans don't like the expert scoring because they think it's like, oh, it's just rigged or whatever. This is like a more democratic way of doing it, but it also just means that if you have the biggest fan base, then you basically win. So, but the performances, ATs did, so these are all original songs that are like totally new that they released before this final
broadcast. Wait, sorry, I have a question before you begin.
Yeah.
So there were a couple rounds before and there's a bunch of rankings, right? So at this point, does everyone start from a fresh slate or is it still accumulating points from the weeks prior?
It's still accumulating points, but the final round is worth the most. So like,
oh, okay. So it's weighted.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So like round one and two are 20,000. Round three is 40,000. And this final one is 50,000.
So it doesn't reset.
No.
Okay. That's interesting because like the produce show would reset every week. So just because you did well last week didn't mean anything for the following week. No. Which is why like people were fluctuating all the time. So I just was just curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically the songs that I thought were notable were Stray Kids' Wolfgang, which I saw was charting pretty well, and then also The Boys' Kingdom Come, which was also charting well. And these performances were very different from the previous ones because since there's no expert voting or like self-evaluation, it was a lot simpler. Like they weren't doing as much extravagant stuff because it was pretty much if you could just get your fans to vote for you, then you would get points. So
yeah,
I thought the final round was honestly kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I think it was the most boring out of all of the episodes.
Yeah, and it was also a 3-hour episode.
Yeah, it was super boring.
Well, is it because it was it was a live show, so they couldn't do the fireworks and stuff?
Or the flashy, like a piece together one?
There were still performances where they kind of like 360'd the stage, but it didn't seem as though they were using as big props as they were. Maybe because
it's a live show, they have to push it away and stuff. Yeah,
right. Like they didn't have a pirate ship out there and a fucking inflatable kraken, you know.
Uh huh. That makes sense. Yeah, so I'm looking at the take it or leave it. This is Wikipedia stats. I'm looking at just the what you were saying with the digitals, the digital charts, how the new songs went, and it did seem so. Basically, the boys had the most popular song in terms of digitals, which means I'm thinking that means like most played, right? By some kind of player.
I don't know. So they were streamed the most, I think.
Yeah, they were streamed the most by like almost double.
Mm-hmm.
And then second was Stray Kids at like 4 million. Kingdom Come was like 8 million. And then B2B is around 3 million, AT is around 2, and then the others bringing up the rear. So it did seem like the boys had the most popular original release.
I would say that was one of the better songs, too.
Who produces it? Mnet?
No, they do.
Yeah, they produce it. But then Kingdom releases it.
Like the show releases it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Same as produce, by the way.
I did not know that.
Yeah. But then in the live voting, Stray Kids got almost more than double the boys.
Right.
Who was in second.
And it's weighted higher.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the boys got second place even.
Well, I think it's just because their fandom was really dedicated to Kingdom. Because, like, Icon and B2B have, like, pretty big fan bases, too, but they just weren't as, like, motivated to, like...
It's not a second-generation type of show, or third-generation type of show, whatever.
Like, B2B and Icon don't need to win Kingdom to, like, have recognition, because they already have, like, all of their previous, like, great things that they've done, you know?
Yeah.
So Stray Kids ends up winning the show, right? So now we'll just kind of give our like final thoughts, right? So I guess what was your thoughts on the show as a whole? Maybe some positive comments. Because we have some of our negative Nancy hosts here today.
Yeah.
Know that.
I'll start. So I remember from our Road to Kingdom episode, we were talking about each group and what each group has to gain from entering Kingdom. And when right before that recording, B2B was confirmed. And so I remember us saying, like, what exactly do they have to gain? You know, like, they're an established group. They don't dance. Like, they're going to be at a disadvantage the entire show. Mm-hmm. And so what did they gain? And I would say that they were probably, like, the most entertaining personalities and entertaining performances consistently. So I really enjoyed every time their segment was on the show, and I looked forward to it every time.
Well, now that I'm retroactively thinking, and it's not fair for us to say it after the fact that this already happens, right? But if I'm answering this question now, like, what do they have to gain? B2B probably has the most to gain. Because the people that are watching the Kingdom show are fifth generation, late fourth generation K-pop goers that didn't know anything about B2B going in. And they're watching the show not for B2B, but for their faves. Like, Ashley, you're not watching for them, but you ended up getting to know them.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they would have hoped, right?
That's
because
true.
A person that is already consuming B2B is a ballad lover, normal pop, if anything. like a Korean mainstream listener. But now late 20s, right? Mid 20s, late 20s, right? Type of listener. But now they're capturing like the young teens, right? That like the flashy lights, that like the concepts, right? So actually I was actually tracking some of the common things that you guys were saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the stage, the storyline, the plot, the theme, right? So it's like no mention about like choreography or like standard things that you look for in K-pop, which is like exactly
you.
I'm a social scientist, so like that's what I do for a living. Yeah, like there was very little mention about vocal ability or choreography, right? So it was only about the flashing lights, right? Ashley, you were like, well, they couldn't do a Kraken, the last one. It's like, normal K-pop person not really looking for a Kraken. But the Kingdom watchers are, right? That's why you like Stray Kids.
I feel so seen, and it's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's exactly what I did to you all during... Anyways... So I think B2B had the most to gain from this because they're expanding their fan base the most. And they've been out of the limelight for the longest time and people are seeing them again. So I think from what you guys were saying, they probably gained the most out of it. So I'm excited to see what they do next.
Yeah. I came out of that show a B2B stan, a mayfly, if you will.
What's that?
Their fandom name. No, not Mayfly.
Melody.
What is Mayfly? Mayfly is the name of their group when they were AT Stray Kids and...
Oh, yeah. Got it.
I'm a Mayfly and also a Melody.
Okay. Gabe?
Yeah. I think the positives. Good things I got out of this were... I don't know, honestly. I think the whole thing was a good exercise for these groups that, like, Icon.
It keeps them in the media.
Yeah, because like they were kind of, because Icon was kind of falling off, like in terms of public recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this was a good way for them to like just get back into the spotlight. It was like a already predetermined platform that they had.
Did you get a sense that they wanted to be there? I'm just curious.
No, like absolutely not.
Okay. That's a little disappointing. A little disappointing.
It seemed like they were just like doing it. They're like, we don't really care about this show. We're going to do it anyway. And we're just going to have fun. Fuck it.
Yeah. But that also reflects on like the show itself, because like if Kingdom wasn't able to get anyone else that was like more exciting, then
I mean, Icon is really exciting. Yeah, I just think that was very fitting to the Icon persona that they're trying to push. You know, their degaffness.
Okay, well, that is a little bit of their vibe, though.
Yeah.
So, anyways, any other positives?
I had one more thing. Another positive I think that I took away was, so my personal favorite like non-performance moment of the show was when the Nugu groups got to be special judges.
Oh my god! What episode? Yeah. What round was this? I think it was.
What gave them the power to do that?
So that was round three when they were in the like the units where it was like three groups on one team, three groups on the other team. Right. And so I think that was really fun to like see other idols on the show and like see these like vocal director, choreography director lady people who are also there.
Suju.
All of the different like cameos and like features that happened during the variety segments, I think was also really fun.
I have a comment about your Nugu's appearing. The only reason why he likes it is because Weekly was one of the Nugu's that appeared.
That is true.
Weekly, Tribe, Drippin, and some other boy Nugu group.
What was the
BDC?
BDC.
Mm. Interesting.
Yes. Anyways. And then my final takeaway is that I think this whole show was set up so that Stray Kids could win.
What?
Yeah. Like, it was systematic. Like, the structure was, like, lending itself for a Stray Kids win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like just there's based a on, like, conflict just, of interest here.
Just based on, like, how they were calculating, like, YouTube views and global voting, et cetera.
Well,
and
I mean,
how, especially
like,
the last.
If you're going to count YouTube views or, like, global voting, like, that's obviously going to advantage the group that already has the biggest fan base. So for me, the biggest winner, well, the big question is,
how does this help them in the future? Who is going to get a boost from this? And who's going to be better off because of this? It might be all of them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But my question about Stray Kids is, have they done anything new to... They already sell like a whole bunch of albums. They already have 200 millions of views on like one music video, right? So like, who are the fans? What is their fandom name again?
Stay.
Stays? Is it plural?
Yeah.
Shawl. Okay. Stays becoming more passionate. Are they going to stream their comeback song double the amount that they've already been? Are they going to purchase two albums instead of one album when the new album comes out? Or are they getting new people to purchase and stream? Is the current fan base getting more passionate, or has the fan base expanded? Because I think with B2B, the fan base has expanded.
I think they're just trying to motivate their fans more.
Yeah, so they're going from one album to two. Like, someone's going to purchase two. Or like, oh, I'm going to stream the song five times instead of three.
Yes, I think that's what is going to eventually come out of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, they didn't really switch it up throughout the whole time. Like, every performance they did was very in character and on brand for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they also weren't like they weren't super compelling as like personalities either.
Yeah.
Which I think, like, if
that
anything,
helps.
the groups were not as focused. I think the groups should have been more focused on the in between stuff, like the variety content,
especially
type stuff
because
in
the
between.
Episodes were so long, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like
so
that's
most
the,
of it is talking.
Yeah, the bulk hours. Of it is like how you interact with like other members, how you interact with like. Other groups and stuff. So I think there was not as like there wasn't enough focus from the idols on that stuff and more so on the performances, which is understandable, but I wonder
if this is a function of, well, I obviously didn't watch
the full episodes, right? So was this a function of just like they couldn't be with one another during COVID and they limited the amount of idol interactions? Because, like, one of the best parts about K-pop, right, is at award shows or whatever, like, encore stages. People love to see idols dancing to another person's song, or, like, there's compilations of, like, oh my gosh, I don't know, Red Velvet, Blackpink, and Twice interaction videos.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many of those, right? So, like, maybe there just wasn't the opportunity because of restrictions? I don't know.
No. Everyone who entered the building got tested, and so you could go in between each room if you wanted to. But they didn't. There were some times where the groups would, like, cheer each other on from the hallway, and they would, like, say hello to them as they're passing by. I mean, maybe they didn't want to have so many, like, organic interactions because of COVID. So they were just trying to, like, show face, you know, even though everyone was technically safe. But, yeah. Could be.
Interesting. I don't know. I'm just trying to think about it from a person that didn't watch its perspective.
Yeah. I will comment on your Stray Kids thing. I will say that as a Stay, I don't feel very motivated to like buy another album. I think like
because you already buy.
Yeah.
You're saturated.
Yeah. I think their win was expected and their performances performed like as expected. So everything is just like, we're at 100%. They did show me in some performances a little bit more than 100%, but overall, it was as expected.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they're going to get a controlling for time, because 1 week from K-pop is not the same from another. Mm-hmm. In fact, every week that you release later, you're expected to get more view counts because K-pop is just growing. But I wonder if they're going to have like an exponentially higher view count on their MVs and album sales increase from this.
I hope so.
I think all of them will. But I think like the key thing is like, is it going to be significant? Because they all now have worked like hours and hours on this show, mm-hmm. right? Compared to groups that didn't go on the show. Like, I don't know, which groups could have been on the show that weren't? Like Golden Child. Astro, right? So I'm just interested to see the trajectory of where all these groups are going to go afterwards. If I was them, if I'm managing the groups, you come back right away. You're not resting.
I know.
If I'm doing it, but I'm not doing it, so I
have no will see a Stray Kids cut back soon. Will it have Hyunjin? I don't know.
Yeah, but like all the Queendom people got a boost pretty much, so I think it should come. Yeah,
they did.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, any closing thoughts on this show?
Did you want to talk about the ratings, Nathan, or no?
I feel just suddenly attacked. All right. So I think that the show serves a certain audience. And before I looked to see how well the show did, and again, as a whole, I think the show has grown probably a lot more over time in its international bases. But I think in returning to my thesis of episode whatever number that was, that my thesis is that basically the scandals that Mnet has created has made survival-like shows and their variants very unpopular in Korea. Not as popular in Korea. And that's what the data overall shows with the TV viewership. So I think it was like 0.4% average for Kingdom, 0.41 average, 10 episodes. Mind you, there's some really big names on this show. Road to Kingdom, what my co-hosts here today like to say, Nugu groups. So we're talking like what? Two, and who else was on that show?
Golden Child, Pentagon.
Oh, well.
Yeah, Pentagon.
Anyways, of lower tier groups than Kingdom.
T-O.
Had a higher rating just by a smidget. But also, again, not controlling for time, because 1 or 2 years later, K-pop is growing like crazy.
Yeah.
Right, so you expect that, like, even if the show was worse, that it should do better just because the K-pop fandom is growing by the week.
Yeah. Right?
So they're like probably a statistical tie, but technically Road to Kingdom had higher average ratings at 0.425.
Oh, yeah, that's not that bad.
Compared to Kingdom's 0.41. So it's probably a statistical tie, but the fact that Kingdom didn't outright like destroy it probably tells you a lot. And then Queendom did a lot better, so like 0.773 average. And the same number of episodes, too. So it did seem like the people enjoyed Queendom better. But that's why I questioned about what kind of boost people would get. Because out of all of these groups, B2B has captured the Korean fans already. Kingdom was about capturing an international fan base and things that you don't normally already have. B2B had none of this going in. So they're just adding on to their fan base.
Right.
That was my thing. With people that already had huger international audiences, I mean, the international fans are watching, but are they new? I don't know.
Yeah. I think also not having the live audience really makes a difference here. Because it's like if you have a live audience, like then there's chatter around it. People are like, oh, I'm going to like episode 6 of Kingdom at the Mnet building.
Oh, you mean like for the Korean audience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that just makes it, there's like a level of excitement there that just isn't there.
And there's like sometimes live on site voting too, which kind of makes it more interesting.
So I don't know. I think that, I was going to talk about this in the group chat, but there's another girl group survival show that Mnet is producing, and Sunmi and Tiffany are like the two judges on the show. Not judges, but they're like the two representatives. I'm like, damn, I might give another try.
Is it Sunmi like a and produce? Tiffany
Sten. There's like...
That's how they hook you in, Nathan.
I know, but I was like, maybe I should give them a chance because I think that girl groups are at a disadvantage when it comes to survival shows. So I might support because of that. But then they were like, Tiffany and Sunmi are coming on. I'm just like, yes. But I don't know if I'm going to stick to my guns. We'll talk about it at some point.
Yeah.
All right. This was fun. As someone that didn't watch the show and just looked at the numbers afterwards. It's my job. All right. Thank you all for listening. Let us know what your favorite performances on Kingdom was. Let us know what you feel about the winners. I think there's more than one winner just because Stray Kids won. Yeah. I think they're all going to benefit from it somehow.
Yep.
And they all worked really hard. Seems like they all put in like a whole bunch of hours into the show. Over the span of how long was this going on for? Months, huh?
It was April to June. 3 months.
That is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what I was doing 3 months ago.
Yeah, and they were preparing like well before that. That was just when the episode aired. So maybe like 4 or 5 months for them.
Hmm. Props to them for working really hard. We love that. All right. Let us know what y'all think. We'll be back with another episode in a couple weeks. And until next time, we'll talk to y'all later. Goodbye.
Bye.